Welcome to Jim's BBQ. Can I take your order?
Man, my hands still smell like seafood.
Talking Thrones?
Talking Thrones? Whoa, man, that would be awesome.
Just a couple of chairs talking?
I was thinking like a couple of toilets talking.
You know, the guy's got the mannequin in the air, they're ripping the pants off.
And it wasn't circumcised. And I'm like, dude, I did not ask you once to talk about your previous history with dicks.
Between the seat bottom and the seat back, right? And it keeps doing it. I keep pulling it out, you know, pulling it out. You know what I'm saying? Ceramic or stone cocks.
Hi, welcome to episode 39 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Dylan.
Somehow, you're Dylan.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
We'll get there. Before we get there, don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at JimsBBQPod.
I don't know where we're going, but when we get there, email us to let us know Dylan's there at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com. And no matter where you're going or how you get there, you can get the episodes fresh from the grill at www.jimsbbqpod.com.
You can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. So I'll tell you what I'm drinking tonight. And basically, I'm just having a nice glass of ice water.
I am also drinking some water,
Coincidence. We'll make it a three-peat. I also have water.
Wow.
And we're hydrating this episode.
Yeah, we are. We are. Because, man, do we got a story for you? Well, actually, more specifically, I think Dylan has a story.
Yeah, we got some shit to cover.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So,
I mean, without further ado, I mean, other than that, I mean, this is going to probably be the bulk of the episode. So let's get right to it. Let's get to the meat.
Yeah. Well, forewarning, if for all you fans out there, if I'm your least favorite character on the show, don't listen to this episode because it's basically just going to be me talking for a while. And with probably, I'm assuming, some interjections.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have questions. I'm sure we'll chime in. Maybe, I mean, we got to try. I mean, you know, I was thinking about it this past week with, you know, and we don't get really overly political on here, but with all the going ons of the election and everything else going on, you know, we gotta try and lighten the mood a little bit, you know, give people something to laugh about. So, I mean, that this what occurred to you, I think we gotta chime in a little bit, don't we, Jim? And maybe try and, you know, bring a little bit of levity to it.
I would think so, but also, Dylan, you're not looking at the whole entire big picture here. You know, you said if you're your least favorite character of the show, you might not want to listen. But you never know. I mean, if you're the least favorite character of the show, people might get a kick out of what happened.
Oh, maybe.
That's true.
Those guys are dicks.
Yeah. Talk about sarge listeners.
Yeah, no shit, man. If they want to hear about what happened to you and are getting like thrills out of it, then man, they're some sick fucks.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, because they probably don't exist.
Well, that's true.
In our own mind.
So, but anyway, I guess just I'll start at the beginning. That's where all stories start, right?
Yeah.
This was yesterday. I had left work about 5:15 and hopped on a train to New York because I was, surprise, going to another concert. Like, you know. And I'm texting these guys on the way, and I'm like, hey, guys, guess what I'm doing? And they're just, like, throwing out all these ridiculous options. I'm trying to remember what some of them were, actually.
Let's see. I suggested that maybe you were sexting, that you were starting to quilt. What else was there? There was a whole lot there, I remember. I had suggested, that you had saved a lot of money by switching your car insurance to Geico.
There was quite a few.
Yeah.
He was giving hand jobs. For money, yeah.
writing a book,
yeah, peeling potatoes,
yes, like basically all things I wish I would you know would have much rather been doing at the time. So
rather be giving jobs to people?
Oh, maybe not that. No, yeah. Let me dial it back on that one. So I'm on the train and I'm just, you know, I'm having a beer because I don't really feel like spending too much money at the show because those, you know, show drink prices are expensive. And I get to, you know, get to the transfer point in Secaucus, New Jersey. And yeah, it's
pretty smelly. Isn't that where the Rally's Fry or Rally's Burgers place is?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think that's where it's at.
And then we, it was just me. And then I hopped on the next train, you know, started, you know, I was drinking another beer. And actually, met a couple of people on the train, and, like, this Australian guy and this other dude who worked for, music store in the city. And he was like, "What show are you going to see, man?" He's like, "Oh, I'm going to see Ghost. I was going to go see Ghost, the band Ghost, the spooky metal band." He's like, "Oh, that's fucking awesome, man." He's like, "I'm an account, like I'm a manager there." Those are all I'm like, "Oh, that's sweet. That's awesome, dude."
Is that how the Australian guy really said it though?
Well, that wasn't the Australian guy. Oh, that was okay. The Australian guy was I don't remember. We were talking about beer actually for a second because they were like, "What are you drinking? A Guinness?" I'm like, "No, it's not a Guinness."
And then he was having a Foster's, right?
No, he was having a Foster's. He didn't have anything.
Well, that's Australian for beer, man.
Mike,
what's that?
I even got that joke.
Yeah. You know they don't even make that. They don't even drink that shit in Australia.
Well, no shit. Who would?
So, anyway, so I, you know, we all get off the train, say, you know, our goodbyes. Hey, have a great night. Yada yada.
You all give each other a kiss.
Yeah, you know, like the Australian guy was going up to like 51st to like go to some. He was going to watch the McGregor fight, the UFC fight.
Okay.
And he's like, "Oh shit! I just realized everybody's protesting up there." And he's like, "Damn, maybe I'll go another block over or something." And I forgot what the other guy was doing. I think he was going on a date. That's what he was doing. He's going on a date with somebody. And I was going to my show. So, you know, get to Penn Station, go upstairs, take a whiz. And then I just walk over to 6th Avenue and get on the train. And I take the Q train out to Brooklyn. And I was going to this place called the King's Theater, which was a refurbished theater. And it's part of Flatbush. I guess it's within the Flatbush Ditmas Park area. Which, I don't know, let me bring up my map for a second. For those of you that don't know the Brooklyn geography, I'll give some relative locations what it's close to. It's south of Prospect Park, which is one of the bigger parks in the Brooklyn area. So,
gotcha.
And it's the Brooklyn College is close to it. So, but it's pretty much like central Brooklyn, you know, it's not touching, you know, Upper Bay or anything like that. Or Bay Ridge or anything. So I was going there, and I've been there twice before. Never had a problem ever. And I'm walking down Flatbush Avenue because the venue is on Flatbush. That's one of the major avenues in the area. And I had like about 30 minutes to kill. It was 7:15. The doors were already open. The show started at 8. So I figured, I think I got time to grab a very quick drink. So I walked down to... I'm going to go to this place called Michelle's Cocktail Lounge. I figure, fuck it. I'll just, you know, just get a beer, something. And I turn onto a road called Albemarle Road. And I turn onto this road called Albemarle. And you know, I kid you not, that this was, you know, a block away from the venue. And there's nothing really on this street is what I noticed. Because on some of the other crossroads, there's a lot of stuff, obviously, on the main avenue. But, you know, basically on either end, it's the bar I was going to. And then there's a Burger King. Like a clothing store and assembly hall for Jehovah's Witnesses, which is I'm looking at my phone right now. So, and in between there's like I don't know, just buildings, storage facilities, and some sort of truck depot, which is what I was walking in front of. And all of a sudden, again, you know, it's 7:20 at night. I mean, it's November, so it's getting dark again. And I just from behind me here. The patter of people running up behind me. And next thing I know, I'm grabbed from behind. Somebody gets in front of me, I guess, and pushes me as I'm like getting pulled back, and I just see the sky. And the next thing I know is just whop. I just get a big fucking punch in the face, and I immediately know what's going on. I'm getting jumped, and I'm getting, and I just, you know, and these guys, there's probably about 3 to 5 people that are within my direct, you know, space. And two of them are fucking hitting me, and I had my arms up, I'm covering my face, and I could just feel them just like punching me and getting kicked in the side a couple of times. And it was so weird because it happened so fast. I mean, this whole thing probably transpired in about 30 seconds. And the assailants, they didn't yell, they didn't scream, and I just remember hearing one of them say, "Give me your shit." And I just said, "Take it. Just take it. Take whatever you want." I felt a hand go into my pocket about the same time as I did to pull out my cell phone, which was very odd because I kind of came into contact with one of the people that was attacking me. And, you know, they took my wallet, my phone, and then I feel myself getting lifted up. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what in Christ's name is going on? And I guess I opened my eyes and I just remember seeing like some legs around me. And I just hear, "Give me your bag." And then I guess I fell, you know, I slipped out of my backpack, and one of them just popped me again in the face just to make sure I was down. And I was down, and I just heard them I heard them take off.
Was there anybody else around, or I don't know if that's...
Actually, there was.
Okay.
So I stand up within a second. I want to say just... I never lost consciousness during this whole thing.
Right.
Which is probably why I remember everything so clearly. And I get up and look over, and my glasses are also, you know, broken in half. I find half of them on the ground, and then I find one of the lenses on the ground. So I can't even really see. So I just grab my glasses, and I, like, threw them into my pocket. And I turn around, and there's – and I just am like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I just turn around, and – there's some guy like working in the truck station, like he's closing up the door or something. I'm just like, "Can you help me?" And this guy just ignored me, didn't say anything.
Wow.
So I actually like looked up and saw that I saw the people running away from me, but I wasn't about to go chase them down, you know?
All right.
So
you could just end up getting more of the same. You don't know if they have any weapons, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just turn around and start booking it down the street back to the corner, and I just walked into the Burger King, and I walk in and everyone's turning around and they're like, oh, my God, this guy is covered in blood. And I just walk up and I'm like, and they're just like, "What happened to you?" I'm like, "I just got mugged and I just got my, you know, beaten." I'm like, I don't have any of my stuff. I need a phone or something. And they're like, you know, people are just like, "You're covered in blood. You need to use the restroom and like, you need to wash yourself off." And like the Burger King attendant was just like, "Okay, I'll buzz you in." And I should have prefaced this earlier, but most of this story is very bad. But there's like a couple of things that are actually slightly humorous in this whole chain of events.
So wait, was this Burger King like a drive-thru only or something?
No, it was a corner. No, it's a corner. There's no drive-thrus in fucking New York unless you're like off a highway or something. This was like a corner Burger King.
So is the bathroom, I'm assuming, is maybe like employee only or something like that?
No, it's you have to get permission to. It's like, you know, going up to use key, except they use a buzzer to open it up.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant buzz you in, like, to get into Burger King. I'm like,
what? No. But just buzz you in to use the restroom.
Okay, gotcha.
So they buzz it, and I open the door, and as I'm opening the door, I hear someone going, "No, no, no," and I open up, and there's, unfortunately, there's a girl in there, you know, taking a piss. And she's just like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "I'm so sorry," you know, because I was, like, completely, you know, and I just am standing there, like, looking at... Everyone's looking at me, obviously. This fucking, like, you know, kid from New Jersey's just, like, got his ass kicked. Then this kid comes, this other guy comes up to me. He's probably, maybe a little bit older than me, you know, probably lives in the area. And he just is like, "What happened?" And I said, "I got mugged on the road over here," what? And he's like, did you call the police? I said, no, they took all my stuff. Like, they took everything from me. Literally, the only thing that I had on me were my set of work keys and my iPod, which is kind of insane that my iPod survived this. So finally, the girl in the bathroom comes up, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. She's like, it's fine, you know. So I go in there, and I, like, wash, you know, some of the blood off my face, you know, get an idea of how bad. And I'm like, holy shit. And, you know, the left, like, brow of my eye was just protruding out. It was just so – it was a huge lump. So I come back out, and the guy is just like – he's asking me more questions. He's just like, what's your name? And man, I wish I got this guy's name. And he's just like, he must have not known the area that well, or because he just started asking this other dude who's just sitting at the table. He goes, what's the road over here? He's like, oh, it's Albemarle. And he's like, what are the cross street? He goes, it's Flatbush and Bedford. And he's like, all right, I'm calling the cops right now. So he calls the cops. He tells them what happened. The cop wants to talk to me. And I'm sitting there, they're like, okay, we're dispatching police to the area. I said, okay, great. You know, this is where I am. Literally within maybe like a minute, two officers walk into the building, and they're like, are you, you know, the victim? I said, yes, I am. And they're just like, you know, they kind of give me a quick, like, can you hear us? Can you see? Follow my finger. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, what happened? Obviously, I explain the situation. They go, all right, come on. Get into the back of the cruiser. We're gonna see what's going on. So now this is like possibly the most insane part of this whole story. We're driving down, I guess Bedford. I guess it was Bedford Avenue. We're driving down it, up it, whatever. We're driving, and you know they're asking me details, this, that, and you know they're calling it in. There's you know, to the precinct and to the other cars, let them know what's going on. We might have been in the car for about, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. It felt like we didn't drive that far, maybe like a quarter of a mile, maybe not even a quarter of a mile, maybe like less than a quarter of a mile. And all of a sudden, I hear like I was talking and I just hear one of them go, like, wait. Then they hear something, and the driver proceeds to whip the police cruiser around. They put on the headlights and zoom back down the street and rip into a side street. And both officers jump out of the fucking car and start chasing down alleged culprits.
Wow.
Did you leaving me out, though, or how'd they know?
Somebody, I don't know. Somebody identified him.
Holy shit.
And I'm just sitting in the car, and I'm just like, I literally, like, just said out loud to myself, I'm like, what do I do? I'm sitting there, like, petrified. I'm like, I cannot believe that they just fucking ran out of the car to run after some kids. And I'm like, and...
Are you in the back of the cruiser?
I'm in the back of the cruiser. And I want to just point out, there is not a lot of legroom in those cars.
Okay.
I'm just sitting there for a little bit. Not a very long time. All this might probably happen within about the span of like maybe 10 to 15 minutes.
So from the time that you actually got jumped to...
Oh, no, no, no. Well, no, I mean like getting into the police cruiser. And then what happens next. Then I see one of the officers coming back up the street. And I notice that there's a lot of lights down at the other end of the street. And he's picking some stuff up off the ground. I don't know what it is. It looks like papers, like something fell out at, you know, something fell out from something. I couldn't tell what. And he gets back into the car, and I'm just like, what the hell just happened? He goes, we got a bunch of guys. And I'm like, okay. And we fire down the street, and we pull up to the other corner, which I don't know where I was at that point, but I couldn't have been like, you know, again, like I was, this was probably all within 1 to 2 blocks of the place that I was going to see the concert at. And we pull up to this corner, and it looks like it's another, like, you know, some sort of like fast food place, or just people are coming in and out of it. I don't know. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, four recognizable cop cars, and I think one undercover, like, you know, or like one unmarked police car. It's like a silver sedan or something.
Wow. Okay.
Probably about 10 to 12 cops in the area. And there's I think like 2 or 3 people you know, in cuffs, and they're like, these might be the guys. And you know, all the cops are fucking grilling them and everything and yada yada. And I'm like trying to figure out, they leave the door open and I'm just like trying to hear all this shit. And one of them has like a backpack, but I can already tell it's not my backpack because I had an L.L. Bean backpack from like fucking high school that I'm still using. And it was, I don't know whose it was. And I don't know if that was theirs. I don't know anything about these two people, but the guy says, and then a detective comes over to me, or a cop. I don't know. He wasn't wearing traditional police. I think it was a detective. He had like a badge hanging around his neck. And he's just like, he's like, come out of the car for a minute. They're like, no, leave him in the car. I'm like, I said, I need to call my parents. I'm like, officer, could I please use your cell phone? He goes, who do you want to call? I said, I need to call my mom. And he said, all right, what's her phone number? I give it to him. He calls. And my mom was en route to go to the city herself to go see some friends of ours playing at a bar. And she was just in the Secaucus Junction, the transfer station in New Jersey. And she was in the car, and all of a sudden her phone starts to ring. And she says that if she hadn't been in the car at that point, she wouldn't have answered her phone. And she answers it, and obviously it's the cop, and then I get on the phone with her, and I'm explaining to her what's happening, and she's just like, I'm on my way. And apparently what happened with her was she, you know, took a moment to collect herself, and she's driving out of the parking lot, and she's like, I need to leave, like, right now. And the attendant's like, well, you've only been here, like, a few minutes, and he's like, or my mom goes, my son just got mugged and beaten in Brooklyn, and they're like, oh, fucking go, like, so, my mom explains the situation to the attendants, and they're just like, oh my god, is he okay? They're just like, go, and they just like let her out. Okay. So then I guess she called my dad, and then I called my father and told him what was going on, and he was, you know, he lives in Brooklyn, so he was much closer than her.
Right.
So I told him that we were going, you know, to the precinct, the 704 precinct, eventually.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, actually, that part happened a little bit after, because what happened then was they did tell me to get out of the car and to follow an officer over to the unmarked police car. And I get in the back and the guy says, turn that light off, the inside light. And I said, OK, which I'm like, dude, I just got my ass beat. I'm like, I don't know what's going on over here. And he informs me, and then he goes, you don't have any problems with your vision, right? I said, oh, I can't see that well, but I can see as good as I can without my glasses on. He goes, can you identify this wallet? And he opens up the wallet, and I said, could you like give me a little bit of light? And he shows me, and there is my wallet he's holding in front of me, like I'm looking at my driver's license. And then he goes, I said, I had a phone too. And he's like, what was it? I said, it was an Android. And he goes, what kind of case? I'm like a black charcoal case. And he's like, is this it? And I take the phone from him and I press, you know, the home button, and the fucking alarm for the concert is going off. Like, reminder, you know, it's like a Google Calendar thing.
Right.
It's going off. I go, yes, this is the concert I was going to. And he goes, okay, well, we got the guy, or a guy. I'm like, what about my backpack? He goes, we lost him. He took off running and he got away. I said, I don't give a fuck about my backpack. There was nothing in there of importance. You know, this is what matters. And I said, this is what matters. And, you know, they took my credit cards, but fuck that. I don't care. I can just cancel those. He probably didn't even lose. He goes, I told you to turn the light off because I didn't want him to see you. I said, okay. He goes, but we're going to go down to the precinct now. And, you know, I said, well, what's, you know, he's like, well, you know, so the cops get in the car with me and they explain to me that in that area, I guess those few blocks over the past, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks, month or so, have been very, very bad with muggings. And I just happened to turn down like one of the worst streets. And then, you know, the guys just came out of the shadows and got me. And they said, that's why. And they're like, you know, you're a young solo kid with a backpack. You're, to them, you know, you're white. So you're standing out. And I, you know, that's why they got you, you know, because you didn't know better. And they're like, that's not your fault. You just were going down because it was quick way to the bar. And I was like, yeah. And then I get to the precinct, and they bring me inside, and they're like, you know, let me use the bathroom and wash my face and give me some water. They're taking pictures of my phone and my wallet and my glasses, evidence. And the person who stole my stuff was already, I guess, you know, in the lockup somewhere. And they said, you know, I was kind of eavesdropping, obviously, to the officers. And then, you know, but I had gotten my phone back at that point. So I was keeping you guys kind of posted. I was letting you guys know what was going on, as well as my other friends.
Right. Yeah. You caught me. I was headed out to go play hockey. And I saw you message us. Like, and then while I was getting dressed to play hockey, I, you know, I was seeing what was going on. And then I skated for an hour and a half and then got back with you after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, you were kind of in the back of my mind the whole time. And I was just like, oh my God, man, what the hell happened? And I didn't actually see it. You know, I think I responded back. You're like, do you want the short story or the long, or did you want it for now or for the podcast? I'm like, how about both? Cause I wanted to know that you were okay. And, you know, for the most part, I mean, clearly this is something that's pretty, I don't want to say the word traumatizing, but I mean, you can kind of hear it in your voice.
Yeah. Well, it was eye opening. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Much.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, man.
But yeah. So yeah, I was around at that point. I think Jim said earlier that he had kind of dozed off and, didn't see it until what, later that night or early this morning, Jim?
Well, I got up to piss. I don't know what time. Okay. Probably like 2-3 o'clock. And
Jim's got an Android device connected right to his cock, so
right.
Yeah, so he saw it on that. He saw a notification on his cock.
But yeah, it was blinking, and I seen what happened, and I obviously didn't want to send a message in the middle of the night. But then when I woke up this morning, I didn't want to send anything in case you're resting or sleeping or whatever. I almost sent a message to Mike, but you know, at that point, I don't know. Yeah. You know, you didn't know anything probably other than what he already told us, so.
Right. Yeah, I didn't either. That's why I got up and I shot a message over, you know, through to our group that we have to see what was going on. So you're at the precinct, right? So
yeah.
Where are we at that?
Well, I'm sitting there eavesdropping to the cops, and they kept saying, like, the kid. And I'm like, fuck, this was like a fucking kid. Like, when they're saying kid, like, they look at me and probably think, like, okay, he's not a kid. I mean, maybe he's a kid, but not like a kid. Like, this sounded like somebody who was a lot younger than me. Like, maybe like 16 or 18, like early 20s, possibly.
Yeah.
So, and he said, well, you know how we saw it was him. We ID'd him because he was walking around with a backpack and he was walking around like he was, you know, big shit on campus. Like, he was really cocky about it. And they were just like, that's probably him. Which is not, like, you know, 100% sure. Like, that's kind of, like, that's a pretty big, you know, that's a pretty big guess and a big chance to take, you know, to just, like, grab somebody. And it just so happened that, like, I guess the person with my backpack and the group was, you know, that's how they ID'd him. Like, and then when they brought him in, not the guy with the backpack, because he got away. The one who with my stuff, my wallet, my cell phone. They said, you know, they're like, why'd you take it? And they say he didn't. And he admitted very quickly, you know, he rolled over quick. And like, what did he say? He goes, I needed to get some food for my baby mama. And I was like, oh, my God, I cannot even believe that. Like, I mean, now, that being said, that may not 100% be, you know, true. That could just be the cops talking. That could be that kid saying something smarmy to them just to, like, you know, be a dick. But I mean, there's a, sure, there's a possibility that that's true. And, you know, like, it kind of crushes me that that's why this happened. You know, it was, but I guess that's why any of these things happen. It was an act of desperation. I don't know, because you're probably thinking that, and I was told this before, like, I'm trying to rationalize the whole thing. And maybe I shouldn't, because it's like, you know what, that person made their choice, and now they are going to pay pretty immensely for it.
Yeah.
So at that point, I think I had called my dad and he was on his way. And then he showed up with a friend of his because they were hanging out. And, you know, like they gave me and then the EMS guys showed up shortly after that. And they were looking at me and they were saying how swollen my head was. And you know, like I was bleeding. I had a huge cut on the back of my ear, but, you know, a huge cut, like not cut, but like a scrape on my elbow. And then they, you know, they did some, they gave me an ice pack and they did some like tests with the light and all that. And then they put me in the ambulance, check my blood pressure, stuff like that. And they brought me to the hospital. Maimonides. I don't know. I can't remember the name of it.
From the time that you got jumped to the time that you're at the hospital, what was the time frame? Or do you even remember?
This was probably about somewhere between 8 and 9. And then I was probably
in like an hour.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I was at the hospital probably from like 9 to 11.
So it was like maybe a couple hours from the time that you got jumped to the time that you made it to the hospital.
Yeah, probably about that. Yeah. And then, so I get in and, you know, I get seated. And then at that point, my mom rolled in. And, you know, she was, you know, I was just filling her in on everything and just sitting there. And, you know, it took quite a while. Obviously, it was a very busy hospital, like a Brooklyn hospital on a Saturday night is not, you know, it's not the most thrilling place to be because there's a lot of people who are very, very fucked up for, you know, at such weird hours of the day. It astounds me how. Like, you go to a hospital, like, so late at night, and people are, like, shouldn't you be sleeping? Or, like, home doing things that are not, you know, dangerous or possibly, you know, it just was so crazy how many people were there. And I'm sitting there, and, you know, the doctors, you know, they check me in, insurance, the paperwork, the whole nine yards. And I'm sitting there, and they gave me some water, and then, finally, the doctors, you know, I get brought down to a examination room. The doctors bring me down to an examination room. They were very, very kind, very nice. They, you know, I had to explain to them what happened. And so they, you know, they check, you know, again, they're running the diagnostics. They thought I was going to need stitches for the gash in my ear, but they said that actually the way that it cut was it cut along like the curve of like just the inside of my ear. Like, and the way that like your ear is built was actually like kind of keeping like the cut together. So they didn't even stitch it. They just like glued it shut basically, which was good. I wasn't really excited about getting stitches, but whatever, you know, they're saying that everything looked pretty good. And then finally, you know, they asked me if I, you know, I'd gotten a tetanus shot and I said, I didn't know. So I got my mom to come in and they said, all right, we'll probably get you a tetanus shot too, as well as a CAT scan because they wanted to make sure that I didn't have any head trauma. So I go down and I'm waiting. And finally they call. Oh, actually, no. So then I'm just sitting there and there had been this guy over like in the area before. And we thought he was waiting with somebody, but it turns out. So then I'm sitting there with like my mom had to go out to get some air. And my dad and his friend were sitting there and this guy comes over and he just starts asking me questions. And I realize like what this guy's deal is that this dude is like some fucking shady ass lawyer that's trying to get details from me so that he can, you know, be like, I'll represent you and then probably scam me for like, you know, $10,000 or something like that. And I think like the more offensive word for it would be an ambulance chaser.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like, and I'm just like my dad's explaining like shit what happened. And I'm just like, dude, go away. And finally he leaves. And I'm just like, and then my dad's friend is like, he's a fucking ambulance chaser. And I'm just like, this fucking callous piece of shit is coming over here to try to make a buck off of other people's suffering. Like that's pretty low.
Yep.
So, but not surprising. So then finally I get called in for my CAT scan and they do the CAT scan and then I wait about 15-20 minutes longer and I get my tetanus shot and right at the same time the doctor comes over and says I'm cleared for it and I had to sign a bunch of paperwork and I was free to go. So I, you know, gave my dad a big hug, shook his dad, you know, my dad's friend for, you know, driving the car out or whatever, and then I went home with my mom and you know, that was kind of like the reflection, you know, the beginning of the reflection period. So, we were in the car. So the reason, so then I said, you know, and my mom, you know, we were just asking questions. Questions I answered. She wanted to know everything, of course.
Sure.
And she said, well, did they, and what I thought before was that they had taken my credit cards, when in fact, if they did this, they just took my credit cards out and just put them in another section of my wallet. But because it was so dark, I couldn't see that they were in there. So I actually did recover all of my credit cards intact with no additional purchases made to them.
Oh.
Which was, you know, very, very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, they left my driver's license and everything. So.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm going to kind of go back to it that, like, they were literally just walking around, like, the area. Like, just. Yeah. Well, that part amazes me. Like.
Yeah.
I mean. Anytime you ever see that, or like, you know, like on television, or you see it in real life, those guys like scatter and then like go back to where they live or whatever and see what they got out of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. You're
walking around in public or whatever with your shit was just brazen as fuck.
Oh yeah, well that's what the cops said. They said they're walking around like they were like, oh yeah. So that leads to
me. I mean, that's almost like something like World's Dumbest Criminals or something, you know?
Well, it definitely leads me to believe that it was not like, you know, it was not a, you know, and I don't mean to give the, you know, the term mugging any kind of credence, but it was not a professional mugging. It was definitely somebody who was kind of inexperienced at it or was just starting.
Yeah, I mean, your shit probably would have like transferred hands like 7 billion times. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
From the person that did it to like, you know, several other people, you know, so even if you would have seen what they looked like or anything like that, they wouldn't have had it on them by the time the cops got there, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that person, like, I don't know who this dude is, I was with my buddy, so yeah, he was with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, it was just
that's fine.
It was just something that kind of crossed my mind when, you know, hearing about it, that, you know, that they're just walking around and that, you know, still with the stuff and the backpack and all that stuff, just walking around like they, you know, celebrating almost.
Yeah, it was pretty much their own downfall. Yeah. And then,
So you're on the ride home, and your mom's just asking you all sorts of questions, you know, about, like, what's going on.
Yeah, I'm starting my early reflections. My headache is getting fucking worse. And, finally, you know, we stop at a Walgreens to get some fucking Advil. I'm starving at this point. Like, I hadn't eaten dinner. And, you know, like, I get home, I have a sandwich.
Wait, you mean you didn't get, like, a Whopper value meal at the Burger King?
No, I should have totally gone to a Burger King. Just to be ironic. Stop
to feed you, jeez.
No, I meant at the Burger King.
Oh, at the Burger King. No, I was not at that point quite hungry. And then I get home and, you know, I was just like, the biggest fear for me at that point was I knew I had been cleared, but I was just so scared to like lay down and chant. And I'm just like, I'm not going to not wake up. Right. Even though I knew I was cleared, I just couldn't get that feeling out of my head for a while.
Yeah. You can't panic in you. Of course you would.
So I finally, like, you know, calmed down and laid down and did fall asleep eventually and woke up today and, you know, had to explain to my grandmother what happened, so that was fun. And then,
oh, she didn't know last night?
No, well, she was asleep, so.
Oh, by the time you got back, she was asleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, you know, I get home, and, like, I look at myself in the mirror, and, like, my fucking jacket is, like, covered in my own blood. So that was, like, kind of rather, you know, disturbing. And, you know, luckily, like, they didn't get me too bad, but like both sides of my head are just like, I have a huge cut and it's just like a lump and it just sucks. And then, you know, so today we decided to go to, you know, my doctor's office for a follow-up just to make sure, to get an examination. And the doctor suggested that I go to the ER to get a thorough examination, like an even more thorough examination, a possible x-ray, even though I was cleared, because he thought that I might have post-concussion symptoms, or like that, where it may not seem so, like it might be bad and then not seem so bad, and all of a sudden things get worse again out of nowhere. So we go to the ER and they get me in pretty quick, and you know, they check, you know, the doctor does a check, I, you know, like, get, you know, checks all the, you know, my injuries, pain, you know, looks in the ears, the eyes, the nose, all that, you know, makes me do like a walk forward, walk back on my tiptoes, follow you know, all that shit, and basically said that I was okay aside from my, you know, relative surface level injuries, and, you know, to come back if like my mood changed or if I was feeling nauseous or, you know, vomiting or anything like that. And luckily none of that's happened, so I've just kind of been home all day relaxing and trying not to look at too many electronic screens. So, and yeah, it's a wonderful thing to happen the week before Thanksgiving.
Damn.
So, and I have, and then throughout the day, I was getting calls from the officer who assisted me and was informed that eventually, you know, that the district attorney might contact me. And I got a second phone call from him, and he said that he asked if the district attorney reached out to me. I said no. He said that's okay. I just spoke with them. They, you know, the kid was arrested, and charges are being, he's being charged for robbery and assault. And I have court on Thursday in Brooklyn, not that part of Brooklyn, luckily. don't really feel like going back there anytime soon. And then, and I guess I'm there to make my statement to the district attorney, because they don't really need identification or anything, because they, you know, the guy had my stuff, so.
Right, and it doesn't sound like you really saw him.
No, I didn't see anybody. I couldn't see anything. So I just, so that'll be fun. 9 o'clock in the morning, and then go back to work. So, but yeah, that is what happened. And I think that, you know, in addition to kind of looking at it from, you know, kind of trying to rationalize everything, the one thing that I take away from this is I am so, so, so happy that I was spared anything worse than what I got. Because before I even got to the precinct, I recall the officer said to me, did they use any weapons? I said, no. I think I would know if I had been stabbed or shot or something. I said, I think they just used their fists and their feet. He goes, okay, because one of them has a box cutter on them.
Oh.
And I thought, oh shit, maybe I left a box cutter in my pocket from work and one of them took it. And if that was the case, well, fine, you know, that sucks for that kid. I don't know why you would take that with you, you know, but I don't think that was what happened. I'm pretty sure I took it out of my pocket before I left work. So obviously he had a weapon on him. So I'm, you know, it could have been so much worse, and it was not. And, you know, got important stuff back. And at the end of the day, all I really lost was a backpack, some clothes, a pair of headphones, and a night out, you know, which in the grand scheme of things, not worth trading any of those for your life.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
So that was a bar none, like just such a weird situation. But
so I got to tell you where my mind went last night after you posted like the shorter version of the story.
Yeah.
I suddenly started thinking about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. And
okay.
I wondered if you have an auntie and uncle who live in Bel Air.
I do not.
Well,
but he wasn't playing b-ball.
Nah, I know, but that's where my mind went.
Or wasn't outside of the school.
No, it was outside of a truck depot with some dude who was just like, I don't care about human life.
That's the dude that should get his ass kicked.
That dude wouldn't even look me in the face.
He gets a little bit of a Sarge nominee, I think.
He's probably in on it.
He just didn't want any part of it, probably. He didn't want to get beat up by... Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Did you ever find out how old the person really was?
No, but I'm just going to wager somewhere between like the ages of like 16 to 20, like early 20s.
Yeah.
Just based on like the banter between the cops.
Right.
So, and you know what's fucked up is that, you know, I'd been to that area before. Like, I've been to that venue before and never felt any kind of discomfort, you know, getting there. And there were times where I would be out there for a period of time and I would walk to the train station by myself at night and would take the train home. And not once did I ever feel threatened, uncomfortable, nervous.
Maybe even after the show would be even more, you know, risky, you know?
Well, the silver lining, but that probably would not have happened because, well, and, you know, I mean, obviously anything could happen, but I was staying at my father's place after the show, and I was just going to stand outside the venue and just, like, take a cab there.
Okay.
You know, and like, it was dumb because, partially, I mean, I guess you can't say it was dumb, but, like, you know, just, you know, if I had taken the regular route, I would have gone down a street that I knew decently that, you know, was very, like, much away from the more city part of that area of Brooklyn. And, you know, hey, in my mind, probably would have been might have been okay, you know. But then you think, like, you could have gone down any of those streets. And this could have happened to me on any of those streets. And it could have happened to someone else if they walked down that street.
Right.
But maybe not. But maybe because people know that street, that know not to be on that street. But I don't know that. And I'm not from there. So. But, you know, here I am. And.
But still, you were only like a block away from the venue, right?
Literally a block away from the venue. And
yeah, so saying, oh, well, I'm a block away from here, you know, I don't think this would be that bad, isn't far off. I mean, how would you, unless it was a bad area of town to begin with, why would you think a block away from there is bad?
Exactly. I've been there before, and I had always seen a lot of people around, you know, like a scenario where something like this wouldn't happen. But, you know, I went down the quietest street in the area, so. Yeah, and it took a little navigating, but I did eventually find the number for the box office at the theater, and I am going to reach out to them and let them know. And it's not like a complaint, like, you know, terrible experience, 1 star out of 5, you know, nothing like that. I'm not giving them a fucking Yelp review. I want to let them know, like, what was going on, and that, you know, I would not want this to happen to anyone else that was going there to see a concert, to have a good time, you know, to just, you know, experience something. And, you know, I don't want people to go through the same thing that I did.
They don't fucking care, dude.
They probably don't, but. So that's what happened.
Wow. It's just.
It's one of those things that you never think's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
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 But I will not let this stop my enjoyment of live music.
Yeah, and you really shouldn't. Yeah, I don't know. Man, when I saw it last night, man, I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, like you were saying that they punched and kicked you, and I'm like, oh man, how beat up are you? I mean, you know, those were the things that were running through my mind when I was asking about it. Not for anything else, but, you know, did you make it out of it relatively unscathed, health-wise? Sounds like you did, but I think more so it might be, judging by like your tone on this, which it's a little more down than typical. Usually you're a bit more up. I would say maybe it's more of a mental thing.
Yeah, and you know, truth be told, that
and it should be. I mean, I'm not trying to discount it in any fashion. It should weigh on you.
Yeah, but, you know, truthfully, it was kind of therapeutic to sort of think back to the way everything went down and talk about it.
Sure.
So that was kind of, you know, it felt kind of good, and just to hear, like, another perspective on it.
Certainly.
So, you know, obviously, you know, I know you guys were obviously concerned, but, you know, maybe a little bit interested in what was going on, because, you know, you can only tell so much, you know, through a
medium, you know, like Facebook or,
yeah, through text, you know,
or
even
text or whatever.
And I made a post about it on Facebook, and I told people that if they wanted to hear, you know, the whole real story, and it, you know, call it shameless plugging, but like, if you wanted to hear the whole story, that they would have to listen to this to really get an idea of like what happened. And
certainly.
And I am in no way trying to make, you know, this sound like it was the worst thing that ever happened to me, because I mean, it was pretty bad, but there's people that have been in the exact same situation as me that, you know, fared so much worse than me. And I'm not trying to, you know, take anything away from them, because there's people that probably lost their lives because of that, like like literally speaking, like they, you know, killed, or, you know, they, you know, it got everything taken away from them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so, but still, I mean, that feeling of being attacked, or you're safety, whatever you want to call it, was taken away from you. You have a moment or some type of helplessness feeling. I mean, that's...
Yeah, there's nothing like it. It was just, you know, such an... You know, I guess the only way to, like, just describe the last... And, you know, I mean, it's literally been, you know, 24 hours since this whole thing started. You know, I think it's...
It's fucked up, man.
You know, it's just been surreal.
Yeah. Yeah, when I read it last night when I woke up to go piss, I was like... I don't know, I was kind of, you know... Because you had sent mostly everything at that point. So I was glad you were happy, but I was like, you know... My first feeling was like, fuck, I want to hop in a car and go find that dude, beat his ass. But...
Yeah, you know, like that. You know, it's funny he say that, and you know, some people shared some slightly more, you know, aggressive comments on my post, which is fine if that's the way they want to, you know, I'm not taking that away from them, but I just revenge was the last thing on my head when this happened, so I don't know what that says about me, but
says that you're human.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, dude, you got to decompress from it.
I mean, what these guys did to you wasn't human.
No, but I mean, but it is in human nature, and it was, you know, it's what happens when you force someone into a situation that they can't really get out of. They turn to desperation, so. But it's not on, you know, I don't feel that what's going to happen on Thursday is, you know, wrong for what, you know, they did. So, and it, to me, it sounds like this is something that they've been trying to, you know, crack down on. And I guess, you know, they probably appreciate me cooperating. And, you know, it's just one little small little notch in the world, but that might be made a little bit better. But, you know, well, it's so I'm kind of rambling now.
No, good. Yeah. Everything kind of happened. And like you said, everything kind of happened like in a span of an hour. So, I mean, obviously they weren't very like you said, you weren't trying to give credence to the mugging, but they obviously weren't very well thought out or well whatever. You know they caught him. Who knows who else they might have jumped or taken stuff from that night, or you know,
or who they've done previously.
Well, yep. Like you said, there was a concert going on. I mean, how do you know? I mean, there's just a lot of people kind of be coming in and out of there too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what happened.
Yeah, so, I mean, actually, you know, yeah. I mean, a shameless plug or not, I mean, if people really were curious about what happened with you and, you know, if they came over here and listened to the podcast just to, you know, kind of get more of the story, you know, great. You know, I mean, maybe they stick around and hear what we normally do and know that it's a little bit more.
it's definitely more fun.
A little more upbeat and fun than this. Yeah. I mean, this is just, oof, yeah. But, you know, I don't know what else to say. It's just, you know, I didn't take it as that, as and you shamelessly plug in the podcast. I took it as, you know, it's something, man, you probably wanted to talk about to get off your chest and, you know, to, you know, have some people, you know, listen and talk to you about it, you know. And that's, you know, more than just being, you know, your podcast co-host. I mean, we're not just co-hosts, we're friends, you know, and that's what we do. We
absolutely listen,
we talk to each other, and you know, it's not just, we just don't do this just to, you know, for advertising dollars or anything of that ilk. We do it because we like to talk to each other, and we're good friends. And you know, when something happens to a good friend of yours, man, you just want to talk about it and, you know, try and make sense of a situation like it. And you know, I know,
better, whatever you want to call it,
I know we'd be there, you know, if something happened to Jim, we'd be there for Jim. If something happened to me, you guys would be there for, you know, be there for me, you know. That's what it is.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, man.
And plus the whole thing too, like you said, I mean, yeah, we re-record for, you know, say a 2-hour period, maybe 3 hours, you edit it down or whatever. But God, the amount of times we talk to each other, not like on the phone or on Skype, but just stupid messages and shit back and forth all week is 10 times more than what we, you know, 2 or 3 hours we spend just bullshitting here.
Right. Right. It was like, I mean, like you mentioned it, like the whole bullshitting about like, what were you doing? You know, and I came up with like 7 different things that you were doing. Yeah. And going to a concert. That's it in a nutshell. You know, I don't know necessarily know if you guys want to leave this episode this way, but I kind of don't.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to at all.
Did you put something on your post? I haven't seen your Facebook post. Did you put out there that you were going to talk about it? If they wanted to hear it, they could listen.
He totally did. Yes, he totally did.
Again, like I said to Mike, and that's why he was explaining. Like, I didn't do that because I'm like, it's a shameless plug. I mean, this is like,
no, it's a lot easier I wanted for anybody instead of telling the story 10,000 times if somebody wants to, you know, listen to what you had to say. Yeah.
So.
Well, if, I guess maybe to lighten the mood, I think we should maybe do some insecurities.
Okay.
That's fucking
so,
funny.
Though. So, Jim, you want to do some insecurities, huh?
Let's do some insecurities.
All right. Insecurities with Dylan, Jim, and Mike.
If that does cheer you up a little bit, Dylan.
No, it totally does. And just, you know, just before we get into these, just thanks again, you guys, for being there and listening and, you know, just being great friends.
Thank you for being a friend.
No doubt, dude.
Down the road and back again. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Mike is no longer in the good.
What was that from? I know it's a sitcom.
Golden Girls.
Was that Golden Girls?
Yes.
Holy shit. I heard that's getting rebooted on Netflix.
But anyway, insecurities, guys.
You might have to do the intro again because I think we lost it since we started talking.
Okay. Insecurities with Chillin'.
Sounded like he fell.
No, I pounded the desk. I was pissing myself.
This bit there.
Insecurities with Jim, Dylan, and Mike.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good times.
Question number 54. Have you ever been mugged?
Oh.
Oh, too soon?
Too soon. Too soon.
Hey, that's my favorite number.
Huh.
What? Too soon?
54. That's like the number he wears on jerseys and shit.
Oh, that's right.
That's not the real question, is it?
No, question 54. Who is your favorite cartoon character and why?
Oh, man. Jesus. It's not Jesus. I'm sure there's a cartoon Jesus out there. He's definitely not my favorite. Oof, man, that's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's so many good cartoon characters.
There is.
I know, I'd say for one, it's kind of funny that I said it like that, too. One of them would have to be Foghorn Leghorn from the Looney Tunes.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, dude, I love Foghorn Leghorn. He's so funny. I say, that boy is just like a tattoo gets underneath your skin. It's, you know, it's funny. I recall, I think, maybe making, like, one of the funnier comments about House of Cards. I just felt that, like, Frank, whatever his name is on House of Cards, to me, I was just like, Frank Underwood. He just seemed like a real life version of Foghorn Leghorn.
Because of all his sayings?
Because of all his stupid sayings. Like, it's like, I don't know, it's like, being a member of the Democratic Congress is like being a pistol load shooting blanks. It gets nothing done. So, I could go on for a while with this one, but I'll let one of you guys go.
I'm in the same boat you are, Dylan. I don't know if my favorite cartoon character is really necessarily the, I don't know, like, obviously, I'm sure you guys probably already know who my favorite is, but
you better not fucking say Snarf.
Oh no, Snarf! Optimus Prime is my all-time favorite character for everything.
Yeah,
but yeah. I'm just thinking.
But he was a cartoon, pretty much in the beginning.
I know, but it's like to me, I don't know. Yeah, it was a cartoon, but there was toys. There was so much more to Transformers, books, comics, whatever. I don't know if I could really necessarily pick a specific character, but that whole Looney Tunes Hanna-Barbera era, like Jabberjaw, Speed Buggy, that shit fucking made me laugh, man.
I was actually going to say Race Bannon from Johnny Quest. I was a huge Johnny Quest fan as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, Hong Kong Phooey, Underdog. I mean, that whole old good cartoons, none of this.
Thundar.
Yes.
The Herculoids.
Yep.
You're like Captain Caveman?
Captain Caveman!
That's what I always used to like was the Laugh Olympics.
Oh, Laugh Olympics were great. Schmedley. Schmedley's got to be my all-time favorite fucking cartoon character, dude.
Schmedley Wilcox?
Yes.
Is that what Schmedley Wilcox is?
The little dog blue thing that used to laugh like that, or...
from what cart?
He was a Hanna-Barbera character, but he was always fucking with the people in the Laugh Olympics.
Because I remember, is that his name, Schmedley Wilcox?
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Because I remember there's a Dream Theater song called Schmedley Wilcox, and I'm like, oh, is it just like one of those stupid names that bands give to, like, it's, you know, that thing that bands do, like, they'll make, like, do, like, an instrumental track, but they don't give it, like, a, you know, they give it, like, a stupid name. Just because they're, you know, the song's an instrumental, it doesn't have any real point.
Yeah.
Like, the, you know, it's like, oh, this one's called Orangutans in the Toilet or something like that. Or, you know, Mushrooms from Space or you know, some fucking, like, just, it's kind of cool, but then it's also kind of, like, it's kind of funny. Actually, I was going to say one that was more recent that I thought was great was Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack was good, too.
Yeah, I was a huge Samurai Jack fan. Still am. Great fucking show. What about you, Mike?
Gosh, I was thinking, like, I mean, I'm still a big fan of, like, The Simpsons and, like, Family Guy. And as much as I get a kick out of Homer from The Simpsons, I think Peter Griffin is one of my favorites.
He's a
lot. I like Homer so much better than Peter. Peter's such an asshole.
Oh, that's why I think I like him.
Homer is dumb, but at least he always tries to do the right thing in the end.
I think Peter's just the exaggeration of Americana, dude.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, I don't know. I think I would probably say Samurai Jack if I had to pick one. I'll go with the fucking millennial answer.
I'm not seeing a Schmedley or a...
You're not thinking Snidely Whiplash, right?
It's saying his name's Muttley, but I always thought his name was Schmedley.
It is Muttley.
Okay, but I looked up Hanna-Barbera Schmedley, and this guy came up. Or Muttley came up, so I had to get the name Schmedley from somewhere. Like, here. Here, I can play his, let's see if you guys can hear it, but if not, it'll be in the edit, or the thing for Mike. Here's his laugh. There's a laugh.
Now. I thought I just saw it on here. Hold on, I might have found who Smedley is.
I think Smedley's a blue dog.
You're not thinking of Huckleberry Hound, right?
No. I know who Huckleberry Hound is, man.
He always kind of annoyed me. Like, he just seemed kind of whiny.
He was like the Daffy Duck of Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, but Daffy Duck was funny. Well, I never thought that he was funny. I always thought, like, Snagglepuss was funny. Oh, wait, here we go. Each of the three segments featured from... This is from the Huckleberry Hound show. Each of the three segments featured one or two main characters acting as a duo and numerous one-off or supporting characters. So one of them was Huckleberry Hound. It says, Huck's voice was one that... Butler, and Butler being Dawes Butler, I guess the voice actor. His voice was one that Butler had already developed and used in earlier works, such as the dog character in the Rough and Ready show, Smedley the dog in Chilly Willy cartoons, and earlier characters in the MGM cartoon library. So Chilly Willy, too. He was a penguin.
Yeah, Chilly Willy was good.
I don't see any. There's no like list of characters here. Oh, here we go. So Chilly Willy appeared in 50 theatrical short subjects produced by the Walter Lantz Studio from 1953 to 1972. Wow. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing these. Most of which involved his attempts to stay warm and often meeting opposition from a dog named Smedley. Smedley has a large mouth and sharp pointed teeth, which he shows off when yawning, but is never shown viciously trying to bite Chili or anyone else at them. There were, however, times when Chili and Smedley got along, as they did in Vicious Vikings and Fractured Friendship. Ironically, Chili never referred to Smedley by name. Most times that Chili was in opposition with Smedley, it wound up with the two of them being friends at the end. Chili was more of a nuisance to Smedley than an enemy, often showing up where Smedley is working, usually for some mean employee.
Yeah, he always worked for somebody else, but that's what I'm saying. It's saying Motley here, but I know there's a Smedley, so...
Oh, it's interesting. So, well, anyway, I think we addressed that. All right, I think I found a picture of him. But
is he blue?
No, he's like brown.
Yeah, see, Muttley's brown. I don't get it, dude. I'm gonna have to look into this a little bit more. Maybe a topic for another day.
Maybe. So, all right. So
yeah, I want to say Muttley was the one with the weird laugh.
Yeah, God, there's so many good cartoon characters. So there, we're probably not even mentioning a few of them.
Sure. Yeah.
Like some classic Nickelodeon ones, definitely. So, all right. Well, anyway.
Question number 55.
Ooh, that's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
Well, I definitely would not go to the corner of Bedford and Albemarle Road in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be choosing to go to Brooklyn right now.
So, where would I go? Anywhere in the world. I want to say I would go to... Man, there's so many choices.
Well, you can name a couple.
Have to be somewhere I have to go. Definitely New Orleans, for sure.
I know we have the whole caveat of, you know, we can make the questions into whatever we want. Are we talking right now or any time?
Sure. You can make it any time.
Oh.
Well, it makes the question even more difficult. Jesus.
Oh. I'd have to go back in time.
Boo, 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 boo.
Would it be when Huey Lewis was making the song?
I wouldn't go back in time to watch Huey Lewis make the song back in time.
That'd be kind
of ironic, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Oh, I'm like, why are you doing this to be ironic? Like, you have the chance to go back in time, so what do? I go, that sounds like something from a fucking movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That just like... You know, it's just like, I went back in time to the same exact date and time that Huey Lewis recorded the song Back in Time as featured in the hit movie Back to the Future.
Exactly. Makes total sense.
Exactly.
So funny. I don't know. I'd probably go to New Orleans or, of all places, Australia, maybe.
I'd join you in Australia. I've been to New Orleans a couple times, and it's awesome. It's amazing.
New Orleans.
I'd go again.
Blast.
I'd go again.
But there are some streets that you should not go down in the Bourbon Street area, French Court.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would hope you wouldn't go by yourself.
Oh no.
God.
The other one that came to mind for me, I mean, you mentioned Australia, and I said Australia would be one that I'd go to. Japan would be another one.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd be interested in checking out.
I'd have to say Japan's probably my answer too, but. I decided not to go with anything in time because that'd be more of a history question, I guess. But if we had a 54A and a 54B...
You mean a 55A and a 55B?
Yeah. I'd have to say probably Japan to just go anywhere just to go see it and check it out. But, God, as far as history, oh my God. I'd probably say, if history-wise, my first choice would be JFK assassination.
Hmm.
To see,
I wouldn't want to see that though.
No, I don't want to see it. I would want to know. Like, I would want to, I don't know. Like, kind of like
the 11/22/63.
Yeah.
You'd want to try and prevent it.
No, but I don't know why. This was even my college paper, my graduation paper.
Did you write that in Edelstonese?
No.
I bet you the English teachers probably hated Jim.
They probably did. That was my paper. It was on the JFK assassination. And what's funny about that is I think the lady teaching the class thought I did it or I stole it or, you know, because it, you know, it's obviously one of those topics that's been written about and debated about or whatever. And I don't know if she was knowledgeable about it or whatever, but she like started asking me questions or whatever. And I was able to answer all of them and all. I think she thought I was plagiarizing.
Mm.
But it is a topic that always interested me. That it may be a fly on the wall, maybe not like you could travel in time, like history wise and see the events unfold. That and,
I would definitely want to go to the pyramids then.
That would be very cool, but
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge would be mind blowing, dude.
Like just to see like how like, but you know what'd be so funny? And I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know offhand, like I feel like they figured out like who built Stonehenge, or they have a good idea of who it was. But how funny would it be if it was just like, you know, you're expecting something crazy, aliens, fucking like, you know, some weird like sacrificial cult or something, and it's just like a bunch of guys just like picking up rocks.
Yeah.
Somehow.
No, I know.
And it's just
mean.
Like, oh, they had an early version of the pulley system and then they burned it for some reason.
Yeah.
Or like imagine this. Stonehenge is the way it is. Like it was actually supposed to be more to it. And it was just like one dude building this thing, and he had like an ancient pulley system, and he got like struck by lightning and like got killed. His pulley system like burned down, and we never knew like why those things were there because he never finished it. And everyone's like, hey, whatever happened to you know, Bjorn? Like, I don't know. I haven't heard from Bjorn in a long time.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, dude. I think there's a lot of events through history where people, it cracks me up because you listen to people discuss things and they're like, well, back in the time, you know, this is what they were thinking. It's like, you don't fucking know what they were thinking. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, what if that guy just found like some sort of like early form of like hallucinogen? He's just like, I'm going to eat this root. And then he's like, fuck, I'm tripping hard. I'm going to go build some shit with stones.
Yeah.
That could be what happened. Like, oh, this guy ate a root and then he tripped balls. And then he made a fucking like half-assed stone statue. And it's just like, oh, this means nothing. It literally means nothing.
Right.
That would blow my fucking mind.
That'd be funny as fuck, though.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. And then everyone would be like, well, I guess, well, we're not that interesting after all.
Another one that I'd be interested in seeing or being a fly on the wall is if Hitler really died or not.
Oh, yeah, like he actually killed himself.
Yeah, if he went to South Africa like everybody speculated or not.
That would be interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I was thinking about your JFK thing, Jim.
What?
Like, if you were saying, like, imagine if you were a fly on a wall. Like, imagine, like, if you're a fly on a wall, like, through the entire thing. Like, not only, like, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, in the book Depository, or, and then you transferred over and you were in the grassy knoll, and then you transferred over and you were in the hospital, and then you transferred onto the plane as they swore in Lyndon Johnson. And then you were a fly on the wall for the Warren Commission.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like watching a TV show, but seeing the actual history events as they happen.
Yeah, like you actually were in on all of those things.
Right.
Like you didn't just like, not just the like one part of it, but like, the sum of all of it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
So that would be kind of neat.
Like you were able to see it unfold some way, shape, or form, but you were just an observer.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some where I definitely wouldn't want to be there. Like, obviously, I think New York on 9/11 would not be a place I'd want to be at.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But, man. Yeah, I don't know what the historical aspect of it. There's a few things that would be kind of interesting. Like the JFK one, I think I'm with you on that. Man, yeah, I don't know. Just trying to think if there's other ones that would intrigue me. You know, like you mentioned the pyramids, Dylan. I'd be inclined to go to them now, too. I mean, seeing them built and everything would be really cool, but just going to them and seeing them, you know, as they are would be kind of neat, too, I think.
I think so. Mm.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I don't know what you call it, life's mysteries or world mysteries or the seven wonders. All that stuff would be kind of cool to see unfold.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's keep going.
Next.
All right. I think we'll wrap up with this one. Question number 56. What is your dream job?
My dream job?
Yeah.
Time that's traveler. Easy.
What's that? Wait, what's traveler. That? Time traveler? Okay.
A time scientist. They probably give it some legitimate name like that.
I came up with a few answers for this.
I'd say a comic book writer.
There you go.
Like, pretty straightforward.
So the first one is really obvious, and I think we kind of alluded to it last episode, is what about if we did this professionally?
Oh, definitely, dude. This would be a blast.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, you asked the question almost as a what if. Like, would we be willing to change the name of a segment, like, if we were paid $1 million a year?
Right.
So that kind of came to mind is if we did this professionally, like, you know, just like an episode a week or whatever, and that paid the bills.
Definitely.
Yeah. The other thing, Jim's alluded to it before, is my dream job would be working for Jim as his personal organizer.
I would love that, dude.
And then the other thing that I came up with, there's a couple other things I came up with. I'm trying to remember what the one was. One of the other ones I came up with was if I were to, like, I don't want to be a travel agent per se. I want to be someone who organizes trips for people, but I want to go on the same trip with them.
Mm.
So I want to be like a traveling travel agent. Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying. I get what he's saying.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. Like, you organize the trip, you do all the research and everything, and you get paid to do that for somebody, but then you also go on the trip with them.
That would be cool.
Yeah, because then you'd get to see a lot of places, I think. And isn't that what we all want to do, is just see places and experience things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of funny you say that, because that's coming, you know, kind of off the heels of me going up to the con, HowlCon, with Quigley and everything, and doing the Grinder Jersey kickoff and all that. And I could definitely have a life of travel.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome.
And I don't mean, like, I mean, obviously we have friends that, you know, business travel and they go all over the world, right? I don't mean like that. I mean, like, you go to some place and you get to go and see the sights and experience everything, experience the food, experience, you know, whatever.
Almost like your activity, food.
Yeah, whatever leisure activity there is, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Say, not to bring it up, but the cruise we're going on, like, we're doing snorkeling in Grand Turk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's one of the places you go to snorkel. It's known as a place you go to snorkel. So you go and you do whatever that thing is in whatever place you're going to. Like, say I mentioned going to Japan. Like, you go to Japan and you want to go see Japanese professional wrestling. That's the thing you would do when you go there. You know.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think of that, Mike. But yeah, fuck yeah, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the things that came to mind. I remember watching a couple years ago a guy that you guys might know, that he hosted a podcast. I don't know if it's still active, called Bagged and Boarded. A guy named Matt Cohen.
Yeah.
Really cool dude. And he's gone to Japan a couple of times, and he was doing these like short videos on his Instagram. And I saw him on his Twitter feed, basically. He linked them on there. And they were really, really neat, because they kind of gave like an interesting perspective of going to Japan and some of the experiences that he was encountering. And he wasn't there for business or anything. He was there just to experience. And it was really cool. And he would go there for like, you know, two and a half weeks at a time. And it was really kind of neat to see everything that he would get into. And he did go to a couple of Japanese professional wrestling events, which I thought were kind of neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think like
life experience kind of thing,
Mike, I think is what you're kind of saying.
Yeah, I think that's what I would get into. If I could do that, like plan a trip and get paid to plan it for somebody, but then also go on the trip with them.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Like somebody's personal assistant.
Yeah. So you get making some money on those jerseys, and then you'll be able to hire me on to organize everything for you. And then just go to Comic-Cons all over the world selling jerseys, Jim.
Yeah. You know what's weird? And, I mean, obviously we all know, because we were, you know, Kevin fans and all that stuff. But, you know, if I ever made it big with something for some reason, I would think that I'd kind of handle it like he did or whatever, too. I'd want my friends along for the ride.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, who would you rather work with? Like, just someone you don't know, or someone that you've been friends with for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, just in general, though. I mean, just the, like, you know, how he almost gave up making movies because he said it wasn't fun anymore. And then, you know, discovered how it was fun again with his kid and, you know, just talking to Mosier on the podcast and stuff. I mean, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So, Jim, what would be your dream job?
Probably doing Grinder jerseys full time. That's just, you know, I'm sure there's going to be times where that's going to be a job and stuff like that. And it will be because, you know, we've had some shipping issues and stuff like that. But it's really different when you're doing it for yourself, dealing with problems and dealing with just, you know, everything in general, you know. But I'd have to say probably either that or doing this full time, I think, would both be awesome.
Right on. Or your second podcast with your second secret podcast with Dottykins.
Oh yeah, Jim wears Dottykins ugly shirts. .com. Yeah.
Jim and Dotty.
Jim and Dotty.
It would kind of be like what was Malcolm's Mo and Flo.
Yeah.
Isn't Jim and Dotty? Don't they just sound like the fucking neighbors that live up the street from you? They're like
kinda,
really nice folks.
They kind of do. They're in the twilight of their lives here in Rochester.
Yeah, like, you know, you see them at, like, the local, like, there's, like, the one family that hosts a Christmas party every year, and they show up, and everyone's like, oh, Jim and Dottie are here!
Oh, no, you know, I say that, but, you know, I bet that they're probably snowbirds.
Like,
Yeah, they have, like, a residency down in Florida. Yeah. You know, they fly down there, and, you know, they live just outside of, they live just outside of Tampa, you know, like, in a condo for 6 months out of the year.
God bless them if they do, man.
Yeah. Jim and yeah. Dottie.
Probably, and our travels together, probably, you know, granted, we didn't really get to spend much time with her husband, but, you know, the 10 minutes that he was around, he seemed pretty cool. But I'd have to say, hands down, in our travels, that she's one of the coolest people I think we came across.
Yeah.
What about DJ Sheets?
Well, Mike Worley wasn't there for DJ Sheets, though.
Yeah, but that was legendary.
Someday we'll get that story.
We got to get Sean on here.
And yeah, in fact, we discussed it in the last episode about talking about that story and getting Sean on here.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? It's funny because, you know, we talked to Henry and everything too, and he was asking. He goes, "Oh, you guys recorded without me?" And I was like, "Yeah, we wanted to make sure everything was good because all the fucking problems we had last time." And you know, he's like, "All right, cool." And I'm like, "Oh, you were heavily talked about in the episode though." And he's like, "Really?" He's like, "About what?" And I was like, "Oh, you'll have to wait and see." And he, like, texted me during it and everything when he was listening to it the other day. So he got a real kick out of it. And I know we'll probably try and record this week sometime. But sure. We need to get him back on. He's pretty stoked to do it. And
I knew he'd get a kick out of that. He seemed pretty good-natured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dylan, what about you? Do you have a – you said comic book writer, right?
Yeah, a comic book – well, or just a writer whose main focus is comics. But maybe ventures into some other things.
Some other things like erotica.
Yeah, you know, like writing that porn that Jim and I were gonna make, or that Quigley and I were gonna make.
Somebody needs to make the Verdoni movie.
Yeah, you know, I gotta write the Verdoni movie.
All right. Well, I think that's a good question to close on.
I agree.
Insecurities. I think that's a good one. I mean, got some good dialogue out of that, didn't we?
I think so.
Yeah. So, Jim, Surge of the Week? I mean, do we do it?
I don't think we even fucking need one. I think everybody we've almost mentioned, talked about was Surge of the Week.
Yeah. I mean, you know, your brother kind of, like, hit the nail on the head.
Yeah,
on. He was like, "Well, I guess we know who Surge of the Week is."
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, hands down. I mean, it's
a bunch of assholes in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. I NYPD gets a bad rap for a lot of shit. One of my best friends is NYPD. We all know Troy that's NYPD, but shout out to those dudes for
reacting. The cops they did a bang up job.
No, it's just nice to hear the good stories. Because
I was going to say the muggers did a bang up job.
Oh no. They certainly did, too. Well, not really. If they did a good job, they would have gotten away.
Jim, could you just do one thing for me?
Yeah?
Do a Surge of the Week intro.
Ooh, I was thinking about swapping it up since I made that new song, but...
I mean, I think... we all know who the Sarge of the Week is, but or the Sarges of the Week are, but I think we at least need
still need the jingle.
I think we need Jim's jingle. What do you think,
Doug? Jim's jingle.
I jingle, I jingle, I jingle, jangle.
Sarge of the Week. Damn, that was pretty epic.
All right, Dylan, who do you got for a Sarge?
The dickhead who beat the shit out of me, took my stuff. Well, dickheads rather, and but got caught, so he's the Sarge of the Week.
Dumbass dickheads.
I don't think we need anybody else, do we?
Nope. Name me one other thing. I mean, you could say, like, you know what? No, I was going to make a political joke, but I'm not even going to. So, yeah. Sarge of the Week goes to people who beat the shit out of me, mug me, and the jackass that got caught.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah?
If you want to challenge that, by all means, name me a bigger Sarge.
And besides Jim?
Why is Jim a Sarge?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I was just going to say, I think we should have a somewhat continuing Sarge, just because Mike still won't accept that he's a Sarge. From last week.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
I knew he was going to do that, too.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, and you know what, though? I'll say this. Is you guys thought I was going to edit all of that stuff out.
No, we didn't. I knew you wouldn't.
And I didn't. Not a bit of it. I left it in. I listened back to it.
Oh, you left it in.
Ah. Yeah, my couch might pull out, but I don't.
I listened back to it. I and that's why I used a term in our chat that I feel like you guys are trying to pigeonhole me into accepting the Sarge, but it is what it is, I guess.
Jim, he's just trying to find, like, no, look, see, I left it in, so I'm not a Sarge.
It's like the sympathy vote. It's like sympathy strange.
Oh, boy.
You know what I just realized? I still have my fucking bandage on from the ER. I should take this thing off.
All right, guys, take it off.
Go check the Jim's Barbecue feed to check out what I just put out there for
on the Facebook page?
Yeah. I made it just for you guys.
Oh, my God. That's not exactly what I was thinking, but that's still kind of funny.
Okay. That's all I could come up with in a short amount of time, but...
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to in some part of the episode then, huh?
I bet you Quigley could do another picture of us, but the one I proposed.
Oh, probably, yeah. Probably easily. Yeah, just maybe the Easter egg, Mike.
That's what I was thinking.
Because if somebody's like, we didn't hear nothing about a banana who, be like, oh, you obviously didn't listen past when the episode was over now, did you?
Exactly.
You always got to listen after the close, don't you?
And then they'll be like, what? There's Easter eggs? I've never known that. And then they'll go back and listen to them over again. And
they get to the point of, like, where we start pimping our stuff again at the end of the episode. They go, okay, well, they're done. And that's it, right?
Yeah, it's not.
Don't you do you do that?
It's
do
like a marketing.
Do you do that on podcasts that you listen to? Like, if they play like a song at the end, do you just go, okay, well, they're done with the episode, so I'm just going to cut it off and start the next one that...
I usually listen through.
God, what album was it? They did it on an album. There was like a couple albums back in like mid to late 90s. There was a couple songs on an album that were like extended tracks.
Oh, secret tracks?
Yes.
Pilots did it.
Who did?
Yeah.
The Stone Temple Pilots did it on one of theirs.
Okay, that was one of them. I'm trying to think of who else it was.
Guns N' Roses did it on the Spaghetti Incident, even though it was awful.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails did that, but instead of it being just like a song with a really long ending, you know, or a really long song with like white space, it was like the tracks kept going until like 98 and 99.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every single track in between was like 5 seconds long.
Exactly. Yep.
So you could conceivably like skip between like track. I think it was 14. Like, I think it was like track six. I think that's only how many tracks were on that album, the Broken album.
Who was
it was Broken.
Nine Inch Nails, he said.
Oh, God.
Somebody else did the same exact thing too.
Flock of
it was
Souls,
like track 98 or something like that. Or
oh yeah, you know, you say that, I'm thinking, yeah.
But anywho, that's so. Ever since then, I always look to see, and obviously with an MP3, you can't. There's not different tracks. I mean, I always used to look at the, like, I'd throw a CD in the computer and be like, oh, there's 80 tracks on here. There's something. But with the podcast, I'll look to see the time on the pod. So if there's like 20 minutes left and they're wrapping up, you know there's something.
Sure.
Or somebody just fucked up, and which is okay too.
Always though. Like if you guys hear those Facebook and the Twitter and Instagram and the email and all that stuff, and you think we're done, usually there's some little tiny nuggets at the end there that you might appreciate listening to.
Oh, definitely. There's some real funny ones.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so man, I don't know if I want to say I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you listened to the episode and maybe took it as a cautionary tale, or you reach out to Dylan and, you know, tell him that you,
you know what, I'll say this
him
much.
Sharing a story.
I'll say this much. I hope it elicited some kind of response from you. I don't really care what it is, whether it made you sad or, you know, angry, or, you know, you think whatever it made you feel. I'm glad it got some kind of response if you're listening to it out there in podcast world.
Yeah.
Ow, fuck, I just hit my arm.
Oh, see, he's that hurt that hitting his arm caused that kind of response. Folks,
it's just a raw ass cut.
He's beat up emotionally and physically.
But I do think talking about it today was good.
Oh, I agree. And hey, I mean, if this is your first time hearing our podcast, and you know, you like what you heard, I mean, even though it was a, you know, a bit of a downer, you know, subject, you could check us out. You can go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram if you type in @JimsBBQPod. And I guess Jim just decided that he didn't want to do the show anymore.
Oh, fuck, sorry.
Watching videos again? What the fuck? No, turn off.
No, I'm like just listening to you guys. I'm like, all right, right off, we're wrapping up. if you want to email us and tell us that...
oh, God, you know, Chewy.
You know, you feel bad for Dylan and maybe you want to give him a little tender hug and kiss, and... ladies, send your photos and brief descriptions to jimsbbqpod@gmail.com, and I'll make sure to review them, and any approved ones will be sent on to Dylan. Nudes are welcome, of course. And anybody that would like to get the episodes fresh from the girl, so to say, just go to www.jimsbbqpod.com.
And you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. All right, boys. Ready to close this motherfucker out?
Hell yeah.
I am.
You going to do the closer, Dylan?
I guess. What should the closer be?
Well, we can do one of our normal ones, or if you got something else you want to say, you can, or whatever.
Well, I definitely don't want it to be where we beat our meat. Is it, enough meat got beat yesterday.
All right, Dylan. Our thoughts are with you in this trying time.
And Thank you.
If you need us, you know where to get a hold of us.
Yep, I know where I can go. I can go to Jim's BBQ, which is a great place to get porked if you're looking for it.
We'll see you all next time.
Okay. But anywho. Yeah.
Sounded like you said banana who.
Well, I could say banana who if you want.
Banana who.
Banana who. Banana who. 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 Banana who. 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 Who.
Oh, it's the new fucking theme song.
It's a new jingle.
It's the play on the jaw harp.
I don't know where that came from. I just started saying it.
We should get a t-shirt with that banana hoo hoo. You know what the logo could be?
What?
Could be like two scoops of ice cream and a banana sticking in between them, so it kind of looks like
cock and balls.
Cock and balls, but like me and Mike's face are on the ice cream scoops and yours is on the banana.
Nice.
Old Uncle Dylan's gonna roll up a fatty and spin you a yarn. Go, go, go. Excuse me 1 second. I'm getting a phone call. Hello? Sorry, a very cheerful woman just called to inform me that I have stayed at one of their resorts in the past and I just won $75,000.
Oh, congratulations.
So, all right. See you later, guys.
That's pretty sweet.
Anyway.
You know, she gets the Surge of the Week for interrupting the podcast.